Chapter 2 this morning. If you pray right hard, I'll preach right fast. We'll get out of here about 2 o'clock. No, we probably won't be here that long. Y'all pray for my eyes this morning. I got out and blowed leaves yesterday or out from around the house, and that was a mistake before Sunday because my eyes are burning so bad now and watering that it's all I can do to read. But anyway, I thank the Lord for His many blessings. I thank Him for all that He's done for us. And Livia, she's getting where she'll talk back to us now. And she don't know yet that she don't do it during the church time like she's doing. But anyway, it's okay. It's good to hear their little voices. But in chapter 2 of Titus, this morning, in first verse, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And today we're hearing a lot of things that's being spoken and taught that are not sound doctrine because it is not biblically based. It doesn't have Bible to back it up. There are places where they teach that it doesn't matter whether you do good or you do bad. You're predestined to go to heaven or hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just go live your life, and when you die, God will make the choice. Well, let me tell you, that just does away with Romans, what it tells us about the plan of salvation and believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth and us being saved. It said, "Thou shalt be saved." So that it's not sound doctrine. There's other doctrines that's going on out there today that of evolution and different things being taught. It's not sound doctrine. The Big Bang Theory, where two planets bumped together and caused all this to happen because of the cosmic dust, and when it settled out and all these other things happened, let me tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash, and it's not sound doctrine today. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work is sound doctrine. Just having your name on the church card is not sound doctrine. To be called a member of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church is not sound doctrine. It is biblical that we should go to a local assembly of believers together who believe likewise after Christ and after His teachings to bring ourselves together that we are stronger and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But it doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make you ready to go to heaven. Being bought by the blood of Jesus is what it takes first, and then becoming part of the assembly of God and becoming part of the body of Christ and coming together. But to speak those things which become sound doctrine, everything that we read in God's Word and teach biblically will be sound doctrine because it is the words of God that He has given us. It will be sound doctrine. Right up here this morning was the reason why we need to teach and speak sound doctrine. Not only teach it, but live it in our lives that they will see and not become a hindrance or a stumbling block to someone else in their life by the things that we do and say we're a Christian, but we're doing right the contrary. That's not what God wants us to do. Not only should we speak it, but we should live it in our lives that it will prove out to be sound doctrine that we teach. That the aged men be sober, grave, tempered, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. That's what, and you say, aged people, you're looking at the older ones in the church. No, that's of people that are older than these young ones that we're teaching. Anybody that has got to that age that knows right from wrong, that has families, that is out here trying to be the spiritual leader in their home, that should be the aged men in this church that are teaching these young ones as they're coming up, that they see in your home, the man that is sober in his mind and in his thinking, and in his body, not giving over to being drunk and carrying on and beating them and things that's going on. I thank God that doesn't happen. We don't hear those things here in this, maybe right here in our community, but it happens across this county more than we would probably like to think. But it does happen. But we need to be sober in our thinking. We need to be grave. And I'm not saying look like we're going to the grave, but there's sometimes that it takes time to be sincere and to be concerned and to have a time of sincerity and a time of true concern in our hearts for others and be thinking about that and teaching our kids that there is a time to have a good time and to have a joyous time and have fun, but there's also a time that is very given over to following God and to be settled and to have time of study and reflection upon God, tempered. And we don't fly off the handle at things and when they happen, that we be sound in faith, that we don't have to react in anger to the things. Be in charity. Now, I know charity today, they say it begins at home. And we want the charity to begin at our house. I've made the statement before, we're going to start a relief fund for the Brad Wooten Relief Fund, just in joking. But charity does start at home. We need to be giving from home and showing our kids and teaching them from a young age that it's good to be able to give and help others. And to be able to do those things and not just hoard up the things that we have for ourselves and stock those back and say, I'm relying on what I've done. We need to rely on God and what He's able to do. And in patience. Now, I tell you one thing, that right there is something I've had to work on, being patient. Don't pray for patience, because you could get some hard lessons. But we need to learn those patience. When you go through troubles and trials in this world, you get learned patience. Sometimes it's a hard lesson. Sometimes we realize very quickly, right off the bat, where we have been lacking and who we need to trust in. But in patience. Now also it says in verse 3, and the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I noticed this, it says not given to much wine. I guess they figured in here when they were putting that up with that they had to put up with the husbands. And they've told them not to be given to much wine. But let me tell you, wine can obscure our thinking. Anything, it can alter our minds and our bodies and things, it obscures our thinking into things, and we can't focus upon God. But it tells here that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. That we live a holy life. Women, that you set the example before your young daughters and your young sons, what is being a godly woman. That they can see that things that they portray themselves as they dress, as they present themselves out in public and the different things and the way they act. They're looking at you, that you teach them those things. Not false accusers. We have so much of that today. Even when the truth comes, that there's a lot of trouble sometimes when the truth comes out. Not giving much wine, like I said before. Anything that can alter our minds, alter our thinkings, we need to stay away from. Teachers of good things. We teach the good ways of God. If we teach the commandments of God. God gave them to us and said they're commandments. He didn't say they were suggestions. You say, well, preacher, they were under the law. Also in the New Testament, He gave us commandments. And He's commanded us to keep His word. Well, we don't live by the law, but thank God He gave us those commandments that we know right from wrong. That when we read over those, we know what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. The Holy Spirit living inside of us chastens us when we go against those commandments, when we go against those things that God would have us to do, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. We've got to be unspotted if we're going to present ourselves as a sacrifice. God didn't accept a lame animal as sacrifice. He's not going to accept a lame excuse as a Christian. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That is something today that is missing in America. Now, I thank God that we have love in this church, that we have love in mothers' hearts, that we have love in daddies' hearts, and that they are teaching their children to love. But it's not like that everywhere. That love is so important. And there's so many minds that are suffering so many things because they lack that one four-letter word in their life. They are lacking love because they're not getting it at home from mamas and daddies because they don't know how to love. But to love their husbands and to love their children. Now there's families I know in this county, the husband and wife does their own thing. They go do their own thing and the husband go does his own thing and it's all right and they don't have family time together hardly ever and they just go off and do everything apart. That's not what God intended for the family unit. Because when the man and woman came together, it'll be one flesh. Now there is times that you do your own things, but not all the time separate. There's a time that you have to come together. Because if you don't, your family will come apart. But to love your husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That's something that needs to be taught in school, I think, today. But not just school, at home. To be discreet. There's too many that's advertising out there and then wonder why they get some of the comments they do. And I don't have to explain that any further. You know what I'm talking about. Chest. Keepers at home. Good. God has given us all this that we are to follow, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And I know that's something people want to leave out, being obedient to their husbands. But let me tell you, that's God's design. That's God's plan, for the wife to be in subjection to the husband. But listen, husband, don't mean you treat her like no doormat either. You're working together. He took woman out of your side, not out of your back. are not out of your feet for you to stand over, but that you work side by side together. If we didn't work side by side, Sandra and I, we couldn't do this that we do. We have to work together. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. How are we serving God today? Just by lip service, or do we truly mean what we're saying? In our service to God, do we just say it on Sunday, but we don't live it on Monday? That's not what God's expecting out of us. We're to be sober-minded. We're to be doing good works and have a pattern of good works, not just one day a week that we show up at time, on time, for church and think that we've fulfilled our duty for the week or filled our pew for the week and we've done our just duty for God. There's more to do. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Listen, people have enough to say about you unless you've given them something to talk about. Trying to live our life as much to God as we can, we'll put the one that is on the contrary side, that he won't have anything evil that he can say against us. That might be true. If they make it up, then it will come to light and it will be short-lived. But those things that they can't hold against us, that there's evidence in our life, they may live a lot longer and reach a lot deeper than what we ever think. Like we said before here in this pulpit, a man is not an island unto himself. You're not the only one your actions affect in this world. And God is looking and He is pleased with those that have sound speech, that have sound doctrine, that teach all these things, being sober-minded, obeying their husbands, teaching love, all the things that we've read so far. God is well pleased when we do these things. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not being in conflict, not disputing, not talking back. Children, I want you to understand something. When mama and daddy tells you something, it is your responsibility to do it, not stand in their face and say, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to. That would have happened one time when I was growing up, and when I woke up, I'd have got up and done what they asked me to. No, not really. They wouldn't have done it that far. Now, Mama did pray for the strength to knock me to the mill next week a couple times, I think. I'm just picking. But it is a respect to your parents that you do owe them, that whenever they're asking you to do something, not talking back. Not that you're servants, but they're instructing you. They're showing you, they're teaching you ways to work, things to do. Be obedient to those things and don't talk back. When God speaks, don't complain. Don't say, God, I've got a better way. What if I do it this way? God's got a perfect way if we'll listen to Him. Not answering again, not disputing, not purloining, not showing all, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, not purloining, not to get by theft or dishonesty, but to do it in all good fidelity. Do it the right way. Everybody ever try to sell a car and you make more about that car than what it really is? Used car salesmen are good for that. And I used to sell cars, but I didn't talk them up. If there's something wrong with it, I told them. I sold one over the telephone and tried to talk them out of it. Told them what I was wrong with it. It was going to cost more to fix it than what the car was going to cost. They still wanted it. So I felt my conscience was cleared. And they bought it and they got exactly what I told them it was. But don't talk something up if you're not surely confident. Don't lie about it. Don't paint it one color when it's something else. But do it with fidelity in mind, that when you speak your word, that it's your bond. And that when you say something, that people can believe it and they can trust it in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All men, not just a select few, but God said to all men that it was not His will that any should perish, but all come to everlasting life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what are we supposed to do in this world? He told us to live soberly. He told us to deny ungodliness and the worldly lust that can cloud our judgment, cloud our thinking, that can sear our conscience with a hot iron, that we don't see what is wrong anymore with the things that we are doing that are ungodly, to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And you can ask yourself, would God do this? And if the answer is no, guess what, friend? You don't need to either. You don't need to either. I know Ray Stevens had a song out one time, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? He wouldn't need a Rolex. He knew what time it was anyway. Jesus was never flashy. He never wore the gold and the things of this world. He wasn't attractive to a lot of people because they didn't see Him as being the Savior. He didn't come to be all flash and dash and nothing else left of Him. He came to save a world that was lost and to bring the blood of Jesus upon the sins of man, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should live with that hope each day that Christ is going to return. Now, I'm like you. I want to be here as long as possible. I want this world to go on as long as it possibly needs to. Linda and I were talking over our minute ago, and it was said about that we were in better shape than the ones in the graveyard. And she says, I've thought about that, and I don't know. Going home was going to be the greatest reward. The greatest reward. And I'm prepared if He calls up now and says, come up hither. I'm ready to go, and I hope that you are. And do we live each day that He could come today? I'm afraid we don't. But looking for that blessed hope, that's Jesus Christ appearing and calling His church out. The blessed hope. And calling us home to be with Him. Our hope's over once we have salvation. We're anticipating then the prize that is waiting. We're anticipating the home travel to go to where we're just passing through here, going to where home is at, to be with the Father, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are we zealous? Do we have a desire for good works? Many times we have desires, but it's not for good works. Looking at the time, we're getting desire for the preacher to be quiet so we can go get something to eat. But it'll be all right. If we let God have control, He'll take care of it all. And we'll have plenty of time for all things. You say, preacher, time changed. It's going to get dark quicker. I need to go. Then we can start earlier. We'll be here at 9 o'clock next week, and we'll have plenty of time for all of it. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Set aside. Different. Not just being peculiar. Hard to get along with. But to be a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. When we stand upon the Word of God, people are not going to like what we got to say. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. If it cuts to your heart and it cuts to the bone, God said it, He's trying to bring us into a line with His Word. It's not because Brad said it, it's because the Word of God said it. As leaders of our families, as leaders in our church, God's given us an example. He's talked about it today in Titus. How we should live and how we ought to conduct ourselves out here in the public and with each other. That they would see what we have and want it instead of say, there goes a hypocrite. Now, am I perfect? No. I'll be the first one to tell you I make mistakes. I've never been perfect, never claimed to be perfect, but the one that lives inside of me is. Will I make more mistakes? I probably will. And you know, it's something. People will see your tears, or people don't see your tears. People don't see your pain. People don't see your heart. But everybody sees your mistakes. Everybody sees your mistakes. Those were some words of wisdom from Phil Robinson. And it's so true. So true. Many times they don't see the good you do, but you mess up one time and they know it. They know it. But are we living a godly life? He's talking about this for us, both men and women, in this chapter. Men, how we should teach our sons and our families. Ladies, how we should teach our daughters and our sons. And this has to be united front at home together. Amen. Not one doing all the work and the other one standing back and nothing. But it's united front together. Husband and wife being one flesh. Equally yoked in God. Teaching our young ones what they need to know. That we're living soberly. That we're living righteously. That we're living the most blameless life that we can possibly live according to God's Word. And to have enough sense to know that I make mistakes and I must repent and ask God to help me that I don't make those same mistakes. That others may see the Word of God living in our life. Friend, this morning, if you're here and you don't know Him as your Savior, it is God's desire that all men would come to His Son. And if God's dealing with your heart this morning, I ask you to surrender. Surrender to Jesus and be set free from the snares of the devil. And we come into bondage to the Word of God that sets you at liberty. That don't bind you down, but gives you liberty to speak the truth with boldness. And you don't have to worry about being despised of men. They're not going to receive you, but it's not you they're rejecting. It's the Word. When they turn and walk away, it's not you, but it's the Word of God that people reject. But you've got to keep sowing. You've got to keep planting. God will give the increase, and it will produce the fruit that God so intends. But you're here this morning, friend, and you're lost. God wants you to come. Jesus wants you to come. I want you to come. But most of all, you have to see that you need to come and be saved. You have to have the desire in your heart and know that you're lost and that you're ready to receive Jesus. Because until you're lost, you won't be found. Friends, as we stand to our feet, as you play softly on the piano this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.